السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله قد فضل كرم إحسان فالله تعالى الله رب العزة is allowing for us to sit in his house to make some mudakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Make dua that Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial, and Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our diet, a means of us being blessed with the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the tawfiq to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and obedient to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is a lengthy hadith. Sahaba radiallahu anhum narrate that once we were invited to a meal with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the shoulder meat was presented to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to prefer this meat compared to the other parts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to prefer the shoulder meat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a bite, and then he mentioned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he said that I will be the leader of mankind on the day of Qiyamah. So we know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in the dunya, Allah Ta'ala made him the imam of all the anbiya alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mi'raj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about the Akhirah, that on the day of Qiyamah, I will be the leader of entire mankind. So just to digress a little bit, look at the discussion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum at a da'wah. They invited for a meal, but even on that occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is educating. Last night we had the privilege of being in the majlis of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Dawud Barakatuhu, and he was mentioning that our situation has become such that in every gathering, every sitting, we only discuss the world. Our only concern is the world. Somebody is concerned about the entertainment and the amusement. Somebody is concerned about business matters, but our real concern seems to have become only the world. Our arguments, disputes also is only over the world. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. It's an occasion, they are invited there for the meal. Now he's turning their attention to deen, and turning their attention to Qiyamah, Akhirah. Then he says to them that, do you know why? He says that mankind will all be assembled on the day of Qiyamah on one plane, one field. It will be so flat and everybody will be, you know, so apparent that anybody observing them will be able to see everyone. And an announcer, if he has to announce, he will announce one time, everybody will hear. From the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, right up to the day of Qiyamah, every human being that walked the surface of the earth will be present. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the sun will be brought down. People will be in a state of anxiety. Don't know what is going to happen next. And in this condition, they will start discussing amongst themselves that, look, we have to get somebody to intercede on our behalf. And this will be the first intercession which will be on behalf of entire mankind for Allah Ta'ala to commence the reckoning on the day of Qiyamah. So they will say that, look, we've got to get someone to go and intercede by Allah Ta'ala. Everybody is in a panic, everybody is in anxiety. So they discuss amongst themselves and they say, look, the best person to go to is our father, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We rather go to him, he is the father of mankind. So a child, whenever a child is in a problem, first person comes to his mind is the father. So I remember when, just on the light-hearted side, so one student, he was studying abroad. So he wrote a letter to his father. Those days was a real telegram, not this new telegram, old telegram. So he paid per letter. So he wrote a letter. He said, No man, no fun, your son. So no money, then you want to write the whole word because you pay for every letter. So no man, no fun, your son. The father also, he was intelligent. The father wrote back, he wrote back to him. He said, too bad, too sad, your dad. So the person is in trouble, he thinks of his father. So they also, the whole of mankind, insan, they will think of their father, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We rather go to him and ask him to intercede. So they will approach him and they will say to him that, oh Adam, no, you are the father of mankind. First one, Allah Ta'ala created you personally. Each one of us, we came about through the process of procreation. But Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala created him personally. So Allah created you personally. Go and intercede on our behalf. Can't you see what condition we are in? So Adam alayhi salam will reply. He will say that, you know, Allah Ta'ala is so angry today. He was never angry like this ever before. And he will never be angry like this ever after. And as for me, I eat from a tree which Allah Ta'ala forbade me to eat from. So I don't have the courage to go in front of Allah Ta'ala. And the words come in the Hadith Sharif that he will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, Nafsi. In other words, I am worried about myself. I don't know how I am going to fare, how my reckoning is going to be. Where am I going to now go and intercede on behalf of all of you? So go to somebody else. He said, go to somebody else, and he will suggest to them that go to Nuh alayhi salam. So they will then approach Nuh alayhi salam. They will go to him. They will say to him that, oh Nuh, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned with regards to you that you are Abdan Shakura. You are a grateful slave of Allah Ta'ala. And Nuh alayhi salam doesn't come in this riwayat, but he is known as the second father of mankind. Because after the deluge, after the flood, everybody was destroyed. And then Allah Ta'ala caused for mankind to come about again. And he was the first prophet that was given a sharia. So they say, you are the first messenger of Allah Ta'ala to have been given a complete sharia. And you, Allah Ta'ala calls you Abdan Shakura. So you go and speak to Allah Ta'ala on our behalf. Go and intercede on our behalf. So Nuh alayhi salam will give the same answer. He will say that Allah Ta'ala is so angry today. He was never angry like this before. He won't be angry like this after. And then he will say that, you know, I had one dua. every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala is given one dua. He said that this dua, I used it against my people. He made dua to Allah Ta'ala when, after 950 years of doing da'wah amongst them, and they're not prepared to listen. Eventually, he made dua, Rabbi la tazar ala al-ardi min al-kafirin diyara. So, Ya Allah, don't leave any of them. In other words, destroy all of them, all the disbelievers. Innaka in tadarhum yudillu ibadak, wala yadidu illa fajran kaffar. If you have to leave them, they will mislead your slaves, your bandas, your servants, they'll mislead them. And they'll only give birth to sinful people, disbelieving people. So wipe them all out. So he said, now I use this dua of mine against my people. I can't go and stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. How am I going to go? I don't know. Allah Ta'ala, me, question me on this. So he said, no, go to somebody else. Nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. So go to somebody else. So he tells them that go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Go to him. Maybe he can go and intercede. So this group now, they go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. When we were doing this hadith, I'm telling the students, that this group, whichever Nabi they went to, they quoted Quran. What Allah Ta'ala mentioned about that Nabi in the Quran, they quoted that. So these will be some knowledgeable people. People that know Quran, they know what Allah Ta'ala mentioned about the Anbiya alayhi salam. He said, now go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they will go to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. They will put their request forward, and he will reply in exactly the same manner. They will say to him that you are Khalilullah. You are Khalilullah. You are the friend of Allah from the people of earth. But he will give the same reply. And then he will mention that I spoke three, we don't like to use this word lies for a Nabi. So we'll use the word untruths. So I spoke three untruths in my life. Now what was he referring to? When his father, who used to manufacture idols, right? So his father now was going to attend some fair where a lot of sin would have taken place, a lot of shirk. And he didn't want to go there, he didn't want to be a part of that shirk. So now in order to save himself from that, he told his father, he said, Ana Saqeem. I'm not feeling too well. To save himself from sin. So he said, I'm not feeling too well. And the ulama gave an explanation how that wasn't actually a lie. He wasn't feeling, you know, it's like when you're not in a good mood, something bad is happening. I don't feel good. So like that, he didn't want to go for this shirk. So he said, I'm not feeling bad. The second occasion was after all of them had gone. Now he's thinking, how do I get through to these people and explain to them that how can you worship idols? Something that you're making with your own hand, and then you're worshiping the same thing. So he went to this place where they had all the idols, and they used to worship the idols there. So he went there and he broke all the idols. Took an axe, he broke all the idols, and the one big idol, he left the axe on that fellow's neck. He left the big one, and he left the axe. So when they came back, there's a lot of detail to it, but when they came back, eventually they summoned him, and they asked him, who broke all these idols? So he said, well, ask the big fellow. Ask him if he can talk. In other words, you're worshipping this thing. Now, I mean, if they can't save themselves, at least they can tell you who did this to them. He was trying to get through to them. So he said, this is the second lie that I spoke. And the third lie is after his father threw him out. His father told him, no, you're out of the house, you go. Father threatened him and all that. So then he said, I'd rather leave. If I can't practice the deen of Allah Ta'ala here, I'd rather leave. There are so many people today. Majority of the Muslims in South Africa, majority, I don't say all, majority, came from elsewhere. The Cape Townian community, the Malay community, came from Malaysia. Indian communities, they came from India, from Pakistan, and they make up majority of the Muslims. Now, alhamdulillah, deen is spreading amongst local people, etc. Allah Ta'ala called more and more people to enter the fold of Islam. Mine was going somewhere. I don't know why I mentioned this. Majority from another country. Most people nowadays. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he couldn't practice deen here, he left. Right? The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, when it became too difficult for them to practice their deen in Makkah Mukarrama, they left. Many of us came from other countries. Some of, we are born here now, but our forefathers came from other countries. For whatever reasons, they ended up here. And now you find many people in this country, Allah Ta'ala has given us freedom of religion. We can build our masajid. I don't say there's total freedom, but we got many more freedoms than other countries. It's not total freedom, but many more freedoms in other countries. So we can build our masajid, we can have our madaris, right? We can read our salah, we've got our programs taking place, everything happens. The work of da'wat and tabligh is taking place. All our dini activities are taking place. But so many people now, in search of greener pastures, they go to other countries where they cannot practice deen. They're not allowed to practice deen. But they go there because of money. A mu'min doesn't go somewhere just because of money. If he can't practice his deen there, he doesn't remain there. Because his main thing is to practice his deen. He needs to practice his deen. That's the main thing in his life. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he realized now that here he can't do anything, so he made hijrat, he went away. And as they were traveling, so they were going through the territory of one king. And this king had a very filthy habit, a person of loose morals. So any woman that he came across, he wants to be sinful with that woman. So when Ibrahim a.s. was going through this territory, so he too was arrested now, and he was traveling with his wife, Sarah radiallahu anha. So this king's soldiers, they took her to the king. So before they could take her, Ibrahim a.s. told her that, see, if this king asks you, what's our relationship, then don't say that you are my wife. Say that you are my sister. Because from experience, certain people that traveled through brother and sister, so he didn't harm that woman. So this is why Ibrahim alayhi salam told her to protect her chastity. Tell him that you are my sister. And in reality, we are all brothers and sisters. All come from one mother and father. So he said this is the third lie. Now if you analyze those, they're not actually lies. So I want you to keep in mind what each prophet is saying. And then he also says, nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. I can't go and intercede. Go to someone else. And he tells them, go to Musa alayhi salam. So now they go to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. This is the
O Musa, you are that prophet who you used to communicate directly with Allah Ta'ala. You are Kareemullah, you used to speak to Allah Ta'ala. So you go and intercede on our behalf. But Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he too will respond in exactly the same way. Yet Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was a person, he even gave the angel of death one shot. Angel of death also he gave one shot. But on this day, he too, Allah Ta'ala is so angry today. I can't go in front of Allah Ta'ala. And then he will say that, you know, I killed a person. And I wasn't instructed to kill that person. And I killed him. Whereas, he didn't intentionally kill the person. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلِهِ. Musa alayhi salam gave him one shot. He fell down dead. And that person, he was making zulam. He was oppressing someone else. Musa alayhi salam went to stop the oppression. And in that, he gave him one shot with no intention of killing him. But he died from that shot. So now Musa alayhi salam is concerned about that. So he also says, Nafsi, Nafsi, Nafsi. Now all these Anbiya alayhi salam that we spoke about so far, each one of them, their lives were perfect. Right? They are masoom. They are sinless. There's no question of them committing a sin. But something in their life, which is not even a sin, but they are so worried about it. These are the greatest of human beings. Prophets are the greatest of human beings. Right? The leaders of their nation. But they are so concerned about one thing that happened in their lives. And what is our situation? Our situation, we are sinning all the time. But we think in our mind that, hey, I am sorted out. I'm very pious. I've got no worries. Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor. I've got no problem. If it was that we were not supposed to worry, why are these Anbiya alayhi salam on the day of Qiyamah so worried? Despite them living through a taste of Jannah, despite them experiencing that, look, our bodies never decompose. Because the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam is haram upon the earth. Their bodies don't decompose. So they already seen the signs of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah upon them. Right? The doors of Jannah, the breeze of Jannah is coming into their kubur. Their souls are with the souls of the people of Jannah. But yet on the day of Qiyamah, this is the worry that grips them. I'm going to go and stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. What's going to be my condition today? Do we even think about it? Let us really ask ourselves, do I give this some thought? At least once a day. Do I give this some thought once a day? If not once a day, once a week. Honestly, let us ask ourselves. Once a month do I think about it? I really sit down and think that, you know what, I'm going to stand in front of Allah. How am I going to answer for my life? If not once a month, then once a year also did we do it? And yet our mashayikh, they advise us that every night before you go to sleep, think of death. Ponder over death. Why do they tell us to do this? It's because this is an instruction from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one hadith sharif that أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ حَازِمًا لَلَّهِ يَعْنِي الْمَوْتِ. that remember in abundance, remember in abundance the breaker of haram pleasures. What that is? Death. So keep this death in front of us. As Mohammed Spatel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that whenever we are tempted to commit a sin, then ask ourselves, what if? In other words, what if I die while I'm doing this? I'm tempted to commit this sin. What if I have to die while I'm doing this? So, all these Anbiya Ali Muslim, really, when you read this Hadith Sharif, it sends shivers down the spine. That these people, they were a clean, clean, clean slate. And yet they are so concerned. Musa Ali Salam tells them, no, 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 I can't do this. Go to someone else. And he tells them, go to Isa Ali Salam. So they go to Isa Ali Salam. They present their case. They say to him, you know, you are the word of Allah. The word of Allah was blown. In other words, you were born without the medium of a father. So your birth was miraculous. So you are the one now who can go and do this for us. You go and intercede. Isa alayhi salam, he will not mention any, can't use the word fault also, but he won't mention anything that he's worried about that happened in his life. He won't mention anything like that. But he too will say, nafsi, 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 and he will also decline. He will decline and say, no, this is not for me, I can't do this. Rather, you'll go to Muhammad. And then this group will go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they will present the case to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The love, see, to understand love, you go to the animal kingdom. You got a pride of lions. They are hunting wildebeest, for example. At times, a lone mother protecting her young, she will stare death in the face out of the love that Allah Ta'ala has put in the heart of that animal, that mother, for her young. It's outwardly a wasted effort. She stands no chance against them. That baby stands no chance against them. But she will put up a fight. She forgets about herself. That is love. Love causes you to forget about yourself. You are more concerned about the beloved. You're more concerned about the beloved. You're not worried about yourself. You take a mother, she may be unwell herself. She's just given birth. She's weak. But her child has got colic. The father, what he says, I'll be sleeping in the next door. Because now I've got to go to work tomorrow. But the mother, she stays away. If the child soils the bed, the mother will sleep on the part that she has cleaned, which is wet. She will sleep on that and put the child on the dry side. She forgets about her own comfort. She forgets about herself. The love that she has is overpowering. Like this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love that he has for the ummah, the love that Allah Ta'ala has put in his heart. You know, in one Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,